So the most important one, I think, from the standard perspective, is leadership. I think that has really been an important change, because it really means that top management lead from the top, and that how they're communicating with their stakeholders, making sure they're bringing the environmental management system into those conversations. So that's definitely the most important.
You are listening to The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
The one for me that I found personally important was management review. I did my dissertation for my master's in management review, and I always felt it was kind of a weak area. And I think it is still the one of the most important aspects of environmental management systems. Sitting down regularly, reviewing your system, talking about it, no different to a financial review. Talk about your environmental impacts, talk about your environmental areas of concern. So for me, I was so pleased to see that this area had been improved.
Hello, this is Matthew Childs, and welcome to The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards. The voice you heard at the top of the episode was that of Emma Pye, environmental sustainability expert and standards maker, talking about two of her top five changes to ISO 14001, the leading international standard for environmental management systems. Environmental management standards emerged in the late 20th century as concern about industrial impacts grew. In 1992, BSI developed BS7750, which later shaped the international standard ISO 14001, first published in 1996, establishing a global framework for environmental management and continual improvement. Since then, ISO 14001 has become the leading international standard for environmental management systems, with more than 670,000 organisations certified worldwide. It gives organisations a clear framework to manage environmental responsibilities, improve efficiency, and strengthen credibility. Now, keeping standards up to date is essential. It ensures they stay relevant, credible, and aligned with global best practice, with regular review and collaboration helping them to respond to new challenges and support innovation, trade, and importantly, public confidence. With that in mind, and a renewed focus on today's environmental priorities, from climate change and biodiversity to resource efficiency and supply chains, ISO 14001 2026 supports organisations of all sizes in embedding environmental management into their strategy, making practical improvements and evidencing their impact. I spoke to Emma about the drivers behind the new edition of ISO 14001 and the key issues and debates shaping the changes, and also about those key changes themselves, how organisations can adapt in practice, and the wider impact of 14001 on sustainability and environmental performance. And not only that, because it's The Standard Show, Emma also shares her standards journey. Make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because it's a good one. One that has led, in her words, to her coming full circle. Now, before we get down to it, here's Cindy Parakill with a quick reminder.
Hey, just a quick reminder to follow, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen. Want to get in touch or find us on socials? All the links you need are in the show notes.
Emma Pye is a chartered environmentalist and founder and director of Pye Management Limited, a sustainability consultancy supporting industries such as highways and construction with environmental management, carbon analysis, climate adaptation, and standards implementation services. She holds an MSc in environmental management and has extensive experience in environmental management systems, including ISO 14001 implementation and auditing. Emma also chairs SES 1-1, the BSI Environmental Management Committee, contributing to national standard development and promoting practical environmental responsibility in organisations. This episode is in two parts. Part two explores the key changes in the new edition of ISO 14001, how organisations can adapt in practice, and its wider impact on sustainability and environmental performance. Part one looks at the drivers behind the new edition and the key debates that took place, including through the SES 1-1 committee. I started by asking Emma, why has ISO 14001 become such an important framework for organisations managing their environmental impacts?
So ISO 14001 is one of the key management standards that is globally recognised because it is a very simple to use, simple to follow standard that can embed within your existing company's systems, but it really shows you how to manage your environmental impacts and improve your environmental performance in a simple way. The Plan, Do, Check, Act cycle is so simple and but so efficient at enabling an organization to understand what their environmental impacts are, but work towards how you improve those environmental impacts. And it just takes you on such a nice journey rather than it feeling like it's a lot of hard work. It's a very simple standard to follow. And because it works so nicely and because it's a global standard, it means if you're working across countries and with other organizations, it's a system that can talk to each other. And it's a language then that everybody understands around the world, which is brilliant.
Now, you're chair of the BSI Committee for Environmental Management Systems. Can you tell us about the role of that committee?
So, yeah, I became chair in April 2025. So my key role is to connect the 14001 committee, and it's the 14001 family committee. So we're not just looking after 14001, we look after all the 14000's family.
And how does that sort of BSI committee, so that sort of national committee, how does that feed up into the international committee work around environmental management systems?
So we are, well, I'm specifically the chair for the UK 14001 committee, and there are mirror committees around the world doing exactly the same as what we do in the UK. And that comes all together by one committee that brings all those international 14,000 committees together. So all our ideas will go back to that central global committee for ISO. So we feed it all back into them. So we are very important in terms of that we are the voice for the UK, but we do have obviously many other committees around the world who bring all their expertise as well.
And give us a sense, Emma, of the sorts of people that are sitting around the table in the committee there.
It is wonderful. We have such a broad number of people around the table. So we have people with many years' experience who have been working in the sector for a long time. We've just brought some young professionals on board, and we've opened up the committee specifically to try and bring a few more young professionals in for the very reason, the fact that, you know, bringing new ideas and new understandings. We've got people from different sectors, and we try to get that. So for each industry sector, we try to get people. So we've got people who are from the waste sector, from the plastics, from health. So understanding how an environmental management system works in each of the sectors is really important, and having that understanding is really important to be able to bring that back centrally. So it's really important that we get that broad understanding. We have people from an ecology background, biodiversity, water, resource management, circularity, and they all come on board together.
Now, you mentioned that ISO 14001 has been widely used for many years. Now, so sort of when the committee or committees really first began discussing the new version, you know, what were the main signals or trends that you know, that convinced everyone that an update was really needed?
Well, it was actually going out to the public. So we did a survey, and it's really been kind of public led, this change, in terms of the fact that the survey really fed back the areas that they felt that 14001 needed some improvement on. And we really listened to that survey. And that's what kind of drove the fact that we did need to do an update, because there was a lot of discussions around, does it still work? The previous update obviously came in 2015. So we were about 9 years along, and it's around the time that you do sit and go, okay, what does the standard look like? Is it working in its current version? What's changed in the world? And we've done some small tweaks and changes because obviously climate change had been such a huge impact.
So what did the survey reveal then, Emma?
So the survey revealed that on the whole, the system worked well, the standard did work well, but there was an area specifically around the Annex A that they really felt that it needed more guidance, a bit more support to implement the standard. So that was definitely one area. There was an area in terms of making it relevant to SMEs and making it more useful for those sort of companies. And there was areas around sort of management of change, leadership, ecosystems, and climate change. So they were kind of the key areas that had come out.
Now, obviously, standard revisions and updates, they do involve a lot of debate. Obviously, you're sitting around in the committee there as chair. You're chairing the discussions that take place. So within in the UK committee that you're chairing, you know, were there any particular topics or other issues that really spark, you know, particularly strong discussions within the committee as you began shaping the new edition?
There were specifically a couple that I remember because at the time I was a committee member for some of the discussions. And I really remember us getting stuck into around management reviews and top management responsibility. And there was a lot of conversation around, do we need to expand those areas? And we did feedback a bit of information about, you know, maybe we should be expanding that. And top management was very much a key discussion area in terms of making that top management a bit more responsible. And that has really come out in the new standard because that emphasis on top management and the accountability really now does come through the standard in various parts of the clauses.
Standards affect all of us, every day, everywhere. By defining good practice, they help people and organizations do things better. Each year, standards bodies publish thousands of standards, and we're always looking for more people like you to join our growing community of standards makers. We welcome applicants from all backgrounds, areas of expertise, and career stages. Our goal is simple: to bring a balance of perspectives to the table. As a standards maker, you can help improve how things are made and done, whether it's building more inclusive workplaces, improving healthcare, advancing AI governance, accelerating climate action, and much more. If you want to make a difference and help shape the world through standards, start your standards making journey today. Details on how to get involved are in the show notes.
So Emma, I want to move on to the revised standard now. So what are the most important changes or sort of new ideas in the latest edition of ISO 14001, and why have they been introduced?
So there have been some real minor changes, but what I'd like to talk about are what I call my top five changes or new additions. So the first one is leadership and leading from the top. So it's really important that top management lead from the top, and the new standard really puts emphasis on that. And there's a lot more information in the Annex A. So have a look through the standard, have a look at Annex A, and really focus on that leading from the top aspect. My number two is environmental aspects and impacts. So not exactly a new section. We all know about the good old environmental aspects and impacts, but this now has a new requirement in it in terms of focusing on the life cycle of perspective as well as emergency situations. So previously we had normal and abnormal, but now we've got that additional requirement for emergency situations. My number three is risks and opportunities, a brand new whole section. So this is clause six, and it's 6.1.4 if you want to go and find this. So this is during the planning stage of the EMS. You're expected now to consider the broader context in which you operate and look at those risks and opportunities. So a whole new requirement there in the standard. Another new section is managing changes to the EMS. So have a look at this under clause six, section three. So it's basically looking to maintain a resilient EMS that adopts new circumstances while still protecting the environment and supporting continued improvement. So how do you make sure that those changes are effective and in a planned manner? And my number five is the good old management review. And this has made me so happy because this is one of my favorite parts of the standard. So this is looking at clause nine. So management review is now that important. It has three sections. And we've got a section now that looks specifically at the management review inputs and a section that looks at management review results. So that is my top five of the changes to the new standard.
I do like a top five. We're going to push you on a top one now. If you were to select one of those, maybe from a personal perspective, but what do you feel has been the most important change within the standard?
So I'm going to be cheeky here. And I'll say there is definitely a top one that's really important, but I'm also going to add one that's really important to me. So the most important one, I think, from the standard perspective is leadership. I think that has really been an important change because it really means that top management lead from the top and how they're communicating with their stakeholders, making sure they're bringing the environmental management system into those conversations. So that's definitely the most important. The one for me that I found personally important was management review. I did my dissertation for my master's in management review, and I always felt it was kind of a weak area. And I think it is still one of the most important aspects of environmental management systems. Sitting down regularly, reviewing your system, talking about it, no different to a financial review. Talk about your environmental impacts, talk about your environmental areas of concern. So for me, I was so pleased to see that this area had been improved.
As you chair the committee, I'll let you have a 1+1. That's fine. Now, Emma, obviously tens of thousands of organisations around the world have adopted 14001 and many thousands are certified to it. I just wonder, you know, what practical steps will they need to take to align with the new version and where might it lead them to improve their environmental performance?
So the key thing will be to do a gap analysis. So have a look at your current system. Look at the new requirements of the standard and do a gap to see what areas do you need to improve on and write an action plan as part of that and get yourself a smart action plan. Make sure that people are listed with responsibilities in regards to who's going to do what to update that system. Obviously, get everybody trained on those new changes and get yourself ready for a recertification, which you're allowed to take 3 years to have that recertification cycle.
Okay, Emma, so that's advice obviously for those that have already adopted 14001. I just wonder if you're coming to this for the first time, you know, maybe as an SME, what advice would you have for those organisations?
So my advice would be similar. So a gap analysis is absolutely crucial because I can guarantee you've probably got some systems or some processes that you're already doing that you might not know are environmental standards. So you might already have a process that looks at your energy, or you might have a process that looks at your waste. It might not be necessarily from a standard perspective, but you will have some bits and pieces. So gap analysis, start having a look at what you're already doing, and then take the standard. And I would always say, go to your Annex A. The Annex A has been written in a way that is so useful and gives you such great guidance. So have a look at that, read through that and get a good understanding of what the system is asking for while you're doing your gap analysis.
So Emma, we talk a lot about in the standards community about certainly management system standards being applicable for any organisation of any size in any sector. And I'm assuming it's exactly the same here for this new edition of 14001.
It is, and probably even more so. This standard is not for a company that is well established, that is large. It's for those companies that are just starting out, those micro companies, anybody who might not have an environmental team in house. Even if you think, you know, we just might not have that understanding, it's for anybody. And that's the beauty of this system. It's so flexible that it can grow with your company. So it's really important that you can get that understanding, look at how you implement it, and then when the company grows, it just comes with you.
Now, looking ahead now, Emma, I want you to sort of, this is about impact and ambition, really, you know, about your hopes for this new edition in the broader world, you know, in terms of sustainability, environmental responsibility, or the way organisations approach these challenges over the next decade. What are your ambitions for this standard?
For me, it's driving that real environmental improvement. So I got into this because I have such a love for the environment and it is changing rapidly. And for me, it's so important that companies understand their impacts and that they are responsible for limiting them and improving environmental performance as much as they can. So for me, I don't want this to be a standard that sits on the shelf. I want it something that people live and breathe every day and that they don't know they're doing it. It's just embedded within how somebody runs their company, that they are environmentally conscious and that every member of staff performs in a way that they don't know it's their environmental management system. Like I say, it's just their day-to-day activities, but it reflects such a positive environmental performance. And that's what environmental management systems and all standards are written in a way that it should be embedded in that way. And it really frustrates me when I see people go, oh, yes, I'm getting ready for an audit. So we're looking at our system. It's like, no, this should be everyday activities. It should not be something that's anything different. So no different to you getting up and brushing your teeth. You should be going to work and doing your environmental performance naturally. And so for me, what I'd love to see over the next 10 years is we discuss less about, you know, system standards, KPIs, and actually what happens is people are talking about how they feel and that they're making a positive change and that they can see companies making those positive changes too.
Now, I couldn't let Emma go without asking her about her standards journey, something regular listeners know we love to explore. So I asked her about just that. How and when did her standards journey start? And where is she now?
So it really started, my passion for it really started probably when I did my master's. And like I say, the 14001 standard came out in 2004. And I was doing my master's, I finished my master's in 2005. So the new standard had come out just as I was starting my master's. And I absolutely fell in love with it because of the systems approach, because of the methodology in terms of having this plan, do, check, act kind of process, made it really simple for me to understand. But also I thought this is a great way of explaining to people and to get people understanding. Because I loved it so much and because it was a tool for me to be able to take to training sessions, and I could see people positively responding when I explained it in an easy manner, which the standard does so brilliantly. And the more people I spoke to, the more upskilling I did, the more educating I did, the more I thought I just love this. This standard is just absolutely brilliant. And because it's, like I said, slotted so nicely with other standards. So I've always been in a standards role. So I've moved from one company to another and I became their IMS manager. And then I moved to another company where I became the UK environment manager. And my passion just kept growing until I set up my own business. And I really wanted to highlight to everybody how wonderful it is if you implement a system in the right way, how much benefit you can get from it. And sometimes I find I listen to people and they just think, I haven't got time for this, I'm too busy. And that's why I think it's so important that if you get it embedded in the right way, people don't think about it. It becomes natural. And I spend a lot of my time working on site. I love doing site visits, going out onto construction sites. And I love talking to people and then saying to them, why are you doing what you're doing here? And they go, well, I don't know. I just do it. And then you suddenly realize, or they realize, it's part of the management system. And their recognition is wonderful in the fact that they didn't realize it was feeding back into that whole business system. They just thought they were doing this one little act by themselves. And it's absolutely wonderful when you realize that you're part of this big system that's driving change. And then when you tell them it's a global standard as well, and that everybody around the world is doing the same, we're all driving to improve. It's wonderful feeling, you know, that we're all pushing in the right direction.
And Emma, how did you go from standards user to become a standards maker?
So it was when I set up my own business, I didn't really know that you could do this. And I know that sounds a bit crazy, but I didn't know that you could get involved. I thought, oh, you know, there are people employed out there to do this. I didn't realize it was a voluntary thing that you could actually put yourself forward for. And I thought, I've been working with this standard for so long, and I didn't really understand how it was made. So I started looking into it, and I met a lovely lady who worked for, at the time, IEMA, and she was sitting on the ISO 14001 committee. And she said, your expertise would be wonderful. Would you be interested? And I said, yes, I would love to. I didn't really always, I could do that sort of thing. So I put in my CV and sent on a lot of information around why I would want to be involved. And they wrote back to me saying, we'd love to have you as part of the committee. So I joined the committee around 5 years ago. And I just thought it was fantastic. I suddenly in this world where you can actually change and improve standards. And since, although I was a committee member for 14,001 Family, there's always opportunities to be part of other standards. So at the time, they were looking to start writing the IWA 42, which is the net zero standard. And they asked for volunteers. And I volunteered. And there was about 1,000 of us around the world. And we would meet at various random times of day and night. And I remember sitting in my office at very late hours of the night and us all on the call trying to decide the definition for net zero. And I thought, goodness me, I'm in a history-making moment where I'm talking with people from Germany and South Africa and other countries, and we were trying to get this definition right. And we went back and forwards, and it probably took about 3 meetings to get the definition right. We kept going away and going, it's not quite right. And we'd discuss it offline over messages and then come back to the meetings. And eventually we got it right. And it was just such a wonderful moment when we thought we've got it. And we wrote the rest of the standard and obviously got all formalized and it got issued. And it was a very proud moment for me. And I would not have been able to be part of that if I hadn't have been part of the committee for the 14,001 Family. So for me, I'm just very proud of that and I'm very proud of the fact that I can continue this journey and help with as many standards as I can. As part of obviously all the updates with 14,001, there's been a few of us who have been working on a few bits and pieces to support the release of the standard. And I got asked to review a document. They said, oh, do you mind reviewing this document? And I reviewed it, sent my comments back. And I didn't really pay attention to who had written it. I just read the document. And then at a later stage, I opened up the document again and this name popped up. And I thought, I really recognize that name. And it was a gentleman called Christopher Sheldon. And I got a bit starstruck because I thought, goodness me, I'm reviewing this gentleman's work. And he was the author of the book that my master's was based on. So 25 years ago, when I'd done my master's, this book was issued to us as the book for the masters, because obviously during those days where there was not computers, we were not working on things like that. It was all handouts and books. And yes, the author was Christopher Sheldon. I thought, I've come full circle. So yes, he is a committee member. We've been working on some documents together. And I just thought, how wonderful that I've finally been able to catch up with the person who probably sparks my whole journey with 14,001.
My thanks to Emma Pye for speaking to me about the new edition of ISO 14001, the International Standard for Environmental Management Systems, and to BSI colleague Vanessa McCorkadale for her support in developing this episode. Now, to find out more about the themes raised in this episode and about how to start your own standards journey and get involved in standards, then follow the links in the show notes. And the show notes are also where you can find details of our socials and all the other ways to get in touch with us here on The Standard Show.
You have been listening to an episode of The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.